praise the Lord. I am so glad to be here in the house of God. I'm so glad just to get to minister to every one of you. I love Revival Tabernacle. I love this church. And I know things are different, and y'all were getting used to the fact of being in the building and so on. But, you know, I know you're feeling the presence of God in your living room right now. And so I'm going to ask you, for the sake of this message, this next few moments, I hope you've already got your Wheaties and made your scrambled eggs and done all that good stuff and got your milk and everything. And now you're in the living room, or you're in your room, wherever you're at. Make that your sanctuary. Make this a place where God can speak, where God can move. And I believe right there in your home, as you begin to lift your hands as you did a moment ago, as you begin to clap your hands, as you begin to shout unto God, all of a sudden you'll begin to feel the presence of God flowing into your house, into your room. And so I am so glad to be here once again. I want to ask you to open up to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. And I want to honor Pastor for the privilege to be here, and his wife and his family, just for the opportunity that they've given me to be here, to trust me with each and every one of you. And I know you're great people of God, and during this time you have stuck it out, you've stayed faithful, and I commend you for that, and I pray that you would continue to do that. I also want to honor my wife and my son, who's not with me right now. My son's birthday was yesterday, he just turned 2, and so we celebrated a little bit, and I think they're getting rest right now, I don't know. Anyway, I want to honor them as well. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18, the Bible tells us this: there is no fear in love. If you're at home right now, I want you just to say, no fear. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Let's go ahead and put our Bibles to one side, and let's lift our hands right now, right there where you're at. Would you lift your hands and invite the presence of God into this? Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to be in this house. We thank you for the privilege to feel your presence, God, that no matter where we are, we can feel your miraculous power. You're going to heal and deliver right now in the name of Jesus. In every home, I pray you would visit every family, every person, God, that you would begin to move in their heart, in their mind, that the angels of the Lord would begin to flow in the name of Jesus all over this city, all over this state, and even this country, and to the uttermost parts of this earth, God, that you would begin to flow in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you and I love you. Would you clap your hands, everyone? And would you thank the Lord? Turn to your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad, anyone who's next to you. Tell them you love them. Tell them you like what they're wearing. Hopefully they're not wearing their pajamas. And after that, you may be seated. I love the song they sang. It has nothing really much to do with the message I'm about to preach, but they talked about going up yonder. You know, these are in fact the last days. There's no doubt about that. We are not guessing if these are the last days. These are the last days. Jesus is coming so very, very soon. And I want to be ready. As a matter of fact, I want to rejoice at the fact that he's going to bring us out of all of this chaos, out of all of this craziness, out of all the things that are going on in the world. I rejoice for what's happening. I want to talk to you for a brief moment on this topic, from fear to faith. Turn to your neighbor and say, from fear to faith. I believe that faith is an unwavering confidence in God. There's no doubt that you know great people of God that have great faith. My great-grandmother passed away 2 years ago. She was a great woman of faith. I knew that if I couldn't get a hold of God for whatever reason, I wasn't feeling that great surge of faith, that I can call her and say, Grandma, I know you have a walk with God. I know that you have faith in God, and I'm asking you to take up this need in prayer. And she would begin to pray, and all of a sudden, God would begin to move, and things would begin to happen. And so faith is an unwavering, unmoving confidence in the Almighty God. And I believe that we need faith in this moment, in this hour, more than ever before. We need God. We need to believe in God more than ever before. Not believe in another social experiment or another economic success story. That's not our goal in the end of this thing. But what's going to change this world is the very faith in the name of Jesus. Because it's when Jesus came onto the earth that the dead would come back to life, that the devils were cast out, that the blind would see and the deaf would hear. I'm telling you today that the answer is not in another great political success story, but the answer is in the name of Jesus Christ. The answer for the world today, the answer for Santa Maria, the answer for your family, the answer for every part of the world is Jesus Christ. Would you clap your hands if you believe what I'm talking about today? And I would like to bring a point of revelation and understanding that hopefully would go forth into your mind and into your spirit, that we can walk in a new way, in a new understanding. We can walk with authority. And so while faith is an unwavering confidence in God, I believe that fear on the flip side is confidence in the enemy. Fear is when you begin to believe the report of the enemy more than you believe the report of God, or more believe the enemy more than you believe what God is speaking into your life, or what this word says, that God will never leave you nor forsake you. Fear begins to grip the hearts of people, believers alike. I've seen it as I've gone to other churches and other places, even amongst their leadership. They will begin to act out in some type of anxiety, and then what has happened is fear has come and taken over their mind, and as fear has taken over their mind, it begins to take over their body, and they give themselves to what they are feeling in that very moment. Sometimes, as human beings, we tend to believe the negative rather than the positive. How many times has someone said, well, I feel the angels of the Lord here in this house, or I feel the angel here in my car, I feel the angel of the Lord here in my job, and you kind of look at them a little bit funny, and you say, well, I don't know, who is this guy? Is he really spiritual? Is he not? And you kind of question whether really that's happening at that very moment in time. But the moment that someone says, well, I feel the devil here in this house, all of a sudden you begin to believe it. Now, don't be pointing at your wife or your husband saying, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I'm not trying to bring up anything, all right? But I want you to understand that as human beings, we tend to believe the negative rather than the positive. We tend to believe this virus that's going on in the world. We tend to believe the negative aspects. I'm not saying that it's not real. I'm not saying that people have not died because of this. No, I realize the reality of it. But if you also understand fear, I believe that fear is working right alongside of this pandemic, right alongside of this sickness, right alongside of what's going on in the racial tensions of the world. And now people are afraid to ever get sick or a cough or this, that, and the other. But if you were to realize who God is in your life, if you would just begin to receive a glimpse of who Jesus really is, you would understand that even COVID-19 will bow at the name of Jesus Christ. And even every sickness and disease will bow at the name of Jesus. And so fear has no doubt hit this world. I was talking to a pastor not too long ago, excuse me, and I remember he was telling me a relative of his was feeling sick, wasn't feeling too well, and this relative said, you know, come and pick me up, take me to the hospital, I want to go get tested and so on. And he was afraid, he said, you know, I wasn't sure, you know, if they're sick, should I be around them, what's going on? And said, I got in my car, and as soon as I got in my car, he said, the spirit of fear literally sat in the passenger seat right next to me. He's the kind of person that begins to see these things. And he said, as soon as I saw that spirit, I was driving down the road, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, begin to speak in other tongues. He said, as soon as I began to speak with other tongues, all of a sudden that spirit literally disappeared and left my car. I want you to realize something. If you have the gift of the Holy Ghost, the power of Jesus Christ living inside of you, then you get to say, like the Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. If Jesus is just around you, then you don't have the power to proclaim it. But man, when Jesus comes to live inside of you, all of a sudden you've got authority to be able to tell the enemy, to be able to tell every sickness, every disease, you've got to go, because I've got the power of the name of Jesus Christ. And so let's take a look at a few examples of those that have had fear in the Bible. Matthew chapter 8, and the Bible says, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, verse 24, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he, we're talking about Jesus, was asleep, and his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? And then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. If you realize, Jesus identified the spirit that was plaguing them, the spirit that was overcoming them, and he calls it out and says, oh ye of little faith. He said, why are you afraid, or why are you fearful? And he's identifying that the spirit of fear, because of what they are seeing around them, the storm that's around them, the spirit of fear has literally overcome them in that moment, so much so that they think that they are going to die even when Jesus is in the boat. My question is, who in the world would think that if Jesus is sleeping in the bottom of the boat, that a storm is going to kill and destroy the disciples with Jesus along with the boat? It really makes no sense if you understand who Jesus is. But what happened was, these disciples did not have full understanding of who Jesus really was. And in this final hour, God is trying to reveal himself to some of us here today in a greater dimension, in a deeper way. Some of you know God to be a provider. That's great. But now God is wanting to show you how he's a healer. Now God's wanting to show you how he is a protector. God's wanting to show you how he will come through for you and amongst every situation. And so the disciples say, go get Jesus, as they are panicked in their body. They're panicked in their mind. Fear has hit their heart, and the waves are crashing against the boat. As the waves are coming over the boat, I mean, they are imagining, these are experienced fishermen. They are imagining that they are going to die on that very day. This is going to be our last breath, but Jesus is in the boat. You got to realize something. The Bible tells us that when Jesus ascended, that is when, right before he ascended, he opened up their mind, their understanding to the scriptures. And it wasn't until Jesus was about to ascend back into heaven after the death, burial, and resurrection that in that moment, then they received understanding of who he really was. They had bits and pieces. They had moments where they realized, where Peter would say, well, I know that you are the Christ, you're the Messiah, and so on and so forth. Moments where they would begin to realize this. But this is Matthew chapter 8. This is still the beginning of their journey. This is still the beginning of their walk with Jesus. And so the revelation and understanding they have of Jesus is very minimal at that moment. And so therefore, when all of a sudden the storm gets big and the storm looks treacherous around them, the first way they respond is what has been close to their heart, which is them. Themselves, and in themselves there is no power. In themselves, in their own fishing ability or boating ability, they have no power to calm the storm. But if they really knew who Jesus was in that very moment, fear would have not been allowed into their heart. If they knew who Jesus was in that very hour, fear would have not been allowed into their mind. If they really knew who Jesus was in this hour, if you knew who Jesus was, you would not be afraid of the perilous times. You would not be afraid of the plague around us or the pandemic going on, but you would be able to walk in faith and say, God is for me. Therefore, if He is for me, who can stand against me? I know that somebody is receiving revelation and understanding. Their level of worry and panic displayed their fear, which showed their level of knowing God. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 11. I love this particular passage. Verse 10, and the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man, he says, that we may fight together. And when Saul and Israel, all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And so in that moment, you got to realize you've got Goliath, this oversized Philistine, ugly looking guy, at least the way I picture it. He is there standing over the children of Israel for 40 days. And he is literally speaking against them, defying the God of Israel, Almighty God, defying the people of God, the beloved ones of God, and he's literally speaking all kinds of garbage against them for 40 days. Now you got to realize these are warriors. The children of Israel were not new to battle. I mean, they had literally overcome the promised land by bloodshed. So these were men that would have known what it was to draw the sword. These were men that would have known what it was to see bloodshed of another man. These were people that would have known what it was to see that type of gruesome war before. They would have been experienced in that type of thing. So now the Philistine comes against them and begins to speak against them. And all of a sudden you get a young guy, David, while everyone's hiding behind the hill, hiding behind their rock, hiding in their tent, not coming out. Everyone's afraid. The Bible says they were greatly afraid. All of a sudden David comes walking, this young guy, this guy who would have not known what it was to draw the sword or see the bloodshed of another man. He had never been in that type of battle before. He was not experienced. But he walks into the camp and he begins to question, hey, who is this Philistine? Who is this oversized giant that he can talk about the people of God this way? He gets this righteous indignation, this vengeance in his spirit, this anger, if you will, that says, who in the world does he think he is that he can come against the God of Israel, the armies of Israel? And David begins to speak out. And as David begins to speak out and build maybe a little bit of faith to the people around him, to the people that are beside him, I mean, they probably, their minds begin to change and say, well, yeah, if this little guy here can talk this way, then why can't we believe this way? Why can't we think this way? All of a sudden, verse 28, this is the oldest brother of David. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? He says, I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Notice something. Eliab responds a particular way. Eliab is talking to his brother, telling him, look, man, I realize you just came down here to check things out. You're not going to contribute to the battle. You're not going to contribute to what's going on. Just go away, man. Go back to the sheep. Go back to doing what you were doing. Go back to whatever it is you're doing out there in the pasture. Just get out of here. You're not a warrior, man. You don't know what it is to be in the battle like I do. I mean, this is the oldest brother. How many of you have a younger sibling, someone that you know that, you know, growing up, you always knew just a little bit more than them? I got a younger brother and a younger sister, you know, and I was the oldest. I am the oldest. And so, you know, just growing up, you kind of like, well, I got a little edge on them. I know just a little bit more than them. They haven't been through this stage of life at whole whopping 10 years old, you know. And so, you know, you think, well, you know, I know a little bit more. Eliab, you can imagine, I mean, he's much older than David, and he's looking at him. Who is this little guy? What are you doing, David? Go back, man. Get out of here. And so you got to realize something, though. Eliab responds in a way where he is looking at David and says, why is it that you're not afraid like I'm afraid? That's the reason Eliab stands up and who is this little guy? Why? Because there's Goliath out there in the field taunting the people of God. And David walks up with his head held high and his chest out and say, who is this guy? Now Eliab is hiding behind the rock or hiding in his tent, and he comes out and says, wait, you made us look like a bunch of people that are afraid. And he's realizing, why is it that you're not afraid of the Goliath that we are afraid of? I want you to understand something. It was the same Goliath. It was the same giant. But there was two different perspectives of what in the world was about to happen. There was two different perspectives. Eliab represents the world that's looking at the church and says, why is it that you're not afraid? Why is it that you're not bowing down? Why is it that you haven't given up your worship? Why is it that you haven't turned your back on God? Why is it that even after a few people have passed away, that you decided to still serve God? And you say like David, because I don't come to you with the sword and with the shield, but in the name of the Lord of hosts, I've got God on my side. And if God is on my side, there is nothing that can stop me. I want you to understand the way fear works. It will begin to cripple you. It will begin to silence you. It will begin, before you ever even step out into the battle, to cause you to hide, to cause you to stand behind others, and cause you not to walk in authority. I want you to realize, but if you understand the love of God, then you understand David's response in that day. You see, David said it even another time as he got a little bit older. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Not because you've allowed me to triumph over this battle. Not because God, you have given me the victory. Not because everything is all better now and I'm coming out of the valley. No, David said, because you are with me. And if God is with me, then there is no devil in hell that I wish somebody would get excited about that in your home. There is no devil in hell that can stop you from experiencing the power of Almighty God. There is no devil in hell that can stop you from doing a dance right there in your living room. There is no devil in hell that can stop you. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord? I feel the Holy Ghost. Jesus. And so you got to realize that the power here today lies in the love of God for us. You say, well, Brother Jesse, the Bible says perfect love casts out fear. So I don't understand. I love God with all of my heart, but why am I still afraid? I was still going to church when they allowed us, but why am I still afraid? Why is it when I wake up in the morning, I have fear that my life might be over soon, or that this world is coming to an end, or the unexpectancy of what's going on? I'm afraid, but I love God. Well, the Bible says this, that perfect love casts out fear, and only God is perfect, and only God is love. Therefore, it's not your love for God that casts out fear, but it's God's love for you. That's why David was able to walk in that authority, because he realized God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and he literally brought manna fall from heaven, and God literally allowed them to overcome the promised land. If God can do it back then, and he can do it today. And if God can do it in your life back then he can do it today. So I have nothing to fear. I've been blessed and honored to go and travel in different churches, even in the middle of all of this. I'm not afraid of what might happen. You know, if I can be so bold to say this, I believe if you're a believer in the will of God, walking with God, and God wants you to go, then he'll allow you to go. But if he doesn't, he'll keep you. That's how much I believe in the power of the hand of God. A friend called me up and said, man, I felt the word from the Lord that we today are more afraid that if someone comes and lays a hand on you, that you're going to get the virus. You're going to get the sickness, right? We're afraid. I know some people in church, they didn't come up. That was you. Hey, you know, I don't know. Maybe I might be talking to you in this moment, but it wouldn't come up. And because I'm afraid that if the minister lays hands, then what's going to happen is I'm going to get the virus. And instead of understanding, there is a doctrine in the Word of God that says believers shall lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. Not that those that are recovered shall get sick. It doesn't work the opposite way. It works the way the Bible says it. And so I want you to realize I've still got the same faith that I did back then before this whole thing started. And I'm going to continue to have faith in that very thing. When you understand the love of God for your life, and that's when all of a sudden your fear begins to turn into faith. That's when your fear begins to turn into belief. That's when your depression begins to turn into joy, because the power of Almighty God. You think we're the first people that have faced economic and political imbalance, political world changing around us every day. Pastor mentioned a moment ago, I'm here making decisions almost on a daily, within a day. I've got to make a decision. He was saying to what's going to happen in a church. And I know other pastors that are also in the same predicament. They didn't know what they were going to do or how they were going to do it, even on Saturday night. That's just the way the world is today. But you know, that really doesn't put any fear in my heart. Now, to the person that doesn't have Jesus, the person that doesn't have the Holy Ghost, I would be afraid, because really you have no hope. You know, I heard one great man of God, Brother Michael Flowers, down in San Fernando. We buried my grandfather a year ago. And at the burial, Brother Flowers, he spoke a quick word. And he said this. He said, to those of you around that don't believe in God, he said, this life is all you have to live for. So you might as well live it up the best you can. Because after this life is over, you have nothing to look forward to. He said, but for the rest of us, this is not my home. I'm just passing by. This is not the end for me. It might be the end for some, but this is not the end for me. Because when this is all said and done, I'm going to walk on streets of gold. When this is all, I wish somebody would understand what I'm saying. When this is all said and done, I'm going to dance in the presence of the King. When this is all said and done, I'm going to walk those streets with Peter and John. I'm going to have my mansion in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to have it when I make heaven my home here today. I'm telling you that this is not our final hour. This is not the end of the church. Would you clap your hands one more time, even there in your house? I feel something happening. Would you clap your hands even there? Right now in your living room, I want you to do that. Would you stand to your feet? And would you clap your hands? Would you shout unto God? Paul and Silas begin to sing praises in a prison cell. And all of a sudden, the walls begin to shake. They could have acted out in fear, but they realized that God Almighty is on my side. They understood that the God of heaven is not going to let us die in this situation. If you have the Holy Ghost, begin to speak with other tongues right there in your living room. I want you to watch as a spirit of fear is going to leave your house. I want you to begin to worship as the walls of fear are going to begin to crumble, as depression has to leave in the name of Jesus. Come on, Jesus is calming the storm right now. His hands are up saying, peace, be still. That's it. Jesus is calming the storm. There's a young David rising up in the middle of all of this and says, I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to listen to this Goliath, but in the name of the Lord of hosts, I'm going to chop that Goliath's head off because of the power of Almighty God. Would you remain standing there in your living room? I want you to do that with us. There is significance when you begin to stand and clap and shout and jump. You make that your sanctuary. As you begin to make that your sanctuary, you welcome God into your home. So remain standing with us. Jesus is right there in your home, right where you are at. It was the three Hebrew boys. I love this this example here in the Word of God that stood before a king that had made a decree, and that decree was that they had to bow to that particular God that they had established. They had to bow to the king as well. And the three Hebrew boys believed in God. They believed in this God that I'm preaching to you about. And the Bible tells us that they did not bow. And when all of a sudden the political world around them changed, began to make laws that if you don't bow all of a sudden, that now you're going to be thrown into the fire. And can you imagine, these three Hebrew boys had always served God. They had loved God the same as many of us, but now the political world around them all of a sudden begin to change from day to day, and now their response, or now their reward for serving God, was that they were going to be thrown into the fire. And I love their response. Many of you may know the story. They say, "We will not bow because God can bring us out." And I say the same today. I will not back down from preaching the Word of God. I will not silence my worship. Amen. Matter of fact, you know, there's times you may think I'm weird or whatnot, but that's all right. There's times I'm walking through Target or Walmart, those, of course, God-given places, right, like In-N-Out and in the drive-thru, or there inside the building when we were allowed to be. And there's times I feel the Holy Ghost right where I'm standing. I feel Jesus just beginning to tug on my heart. And I will not be afraid to begin to speak in tongues. I'm not going to go around and start laying hands on everybody unexpectedly, but I will not be afraid to begin to minister. I will not be afraid there at your job. You should not be afraid to walk the halls and just begin to speak in other tongues and set the atmosphere there in your job or there in your house. Begin to feel the Holy Ghost. You say, "Well, I'm not at Sunday service, but Jesus is still with you." Well, I'm not at Wednesday night service, but Jesus is still there with you. And all of a sudden, if you understand the power of God, you're not going to back down. Three Hebrew boys, the greatest response they gave was this. They say, "You know, we will not bow, but even if we are not delivered, even if God does not choose to deliver us, we still will not bow." Now, they clearly had evicted fear out of their heart a long time ago, and they were walking in faith. But they went one dimension further. I like to call it trust. And that when their faith turned into trust was when they said, "Look, if God does not deliver us, that's going to be all right. We're still not going to bow. You can throw us in the fire." The reality of what they were saying was, God can deliver us if He chooses not to, because we're in the will of God, and that's His decision, and He has our best interest in mind. And if He allows us to burn and die in the fire, then guess what? That's the best thing for us, because that's what God decided for my life. What I'm telling you here today, I believe God can heal. I believe God will deliver. But even that slight chance that He doesn't, I still will choose to trust God beyond every shadow of a doubt. I still will choose to believe God. I want you to do something as you're standing there at home. I want you to grab, if you can, grab the oil. You got some anointing oil? Grab the anointing oil. Very quickly, I want you to do this. If you don't have anointing oil, grab some cooking oil. Grab whatever kind of oil you can find. And I want you to begin to open it up. And as you open it up, I want you right now, lay your hands on your kids. Lay your hands on your wife. Would you do that right now? I want you to begin to do that. If I lift my hand right here in the name of Jesus, that's it. I want you to begin to lay hands on somebody. Begin to lay hands on a wall. Would you do that right now in the name of Jesus? This house is dedicated to Almighty God. We are evicting fear out of our home. We are evicting fear out of our mind. We are evicting fear out of our hearts in the name of Jesus. It's got to go. It's got to leave right now. Come on, don't stop. Don't stop. Lay hands on your wife. Husbands, lay hands on your wife. Wives, go ahead, begin to pray with your husbands. Command that spirit of fear to go, that spirit of worry to go, in the name of Jesus. Begin to command it to go right now, right now. We are moving from fear to faith. We are moving from fear to faith in this very hour. Come on, come on, that's it. If your family member is sick in their body, you lay hands on them. If you're a believer, you lay hands on them, anoint their body, and begin to command that sickness to go. Begin to command that disease to go in the name of Jesus Christ. There is something happening in the Holy Ghost right now. There is something happening. The angels of the Lord are beginning to flow into people's homes, are beginning to go into people's rooms. Right there where you're at, the angel of the Lord is going to begin to go and bring peace in your home. Is going to go and bring healing in your home right now in the name of Jesus. I want to tell you this last thing. As you're standing, I don't mean to keep you standing so long, but I want to tell you this last thing. I was in Arizona not too long ago. There was a woman, sister in the Lord, that was diagnosed with COVID-19 at the beginning of this whole deal, a couple months ago now, and she was diagnosed with it. She was in a very bad situation, was on the ventilator and so on, and had other complications even before that. And so while she is in the bed there at the hospital in a coma, unable to respond or hear, speak, and so on, with the ventilator tube in her mouth, and her husband was not able to enter into the hospital. As many of you know, you're not allowed to do that. And so he went home, and at one point he even went to the hospital there in the parking lot, got down on his knees and began to pray in the Holy Ghost, because God told him. There were also about 40 members from the church that came out to pray with him. Nurses began coming out, realizing they were speaking in other tongues, and they got to pray with the nurses, because that's how the power of God works. He went home later on, and all of a sudden a pastor called him up and said, listen, the way this virus works is this. The virus attacks the breath, right? Which attacks the breath of life. And so he said, what's happening in the spirit realm is this spirit of COVID is literally attacking the breath of life. And he said, what you need to do is begin to blow. As you begin to blow toward the hospital, you are breathing the breath of life back into her body. And all of a sudden, he would begin to blow and he would begin to speak. You will live and not die. You will live and not die. You will live and not die. And he would blow again. And he said, you will live and not die. And he would do it again and again and again, until all of a sudden, simultaneously, there in the hospital, at the exact same time, that lady literally woke up out of the coma with no any help from the doctor, ripped the tube out of her mouth, and she said, I will live and not die. I will live and not die. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord one more time? The doctor came over, the nurses tried to put the tube back in her mouth, and the doctor said, leave her alone. She's trying to breathe. Today, she has no more virus. She's completely healed. And a $7,000 piece of equipment attached to her leg was helping her walk. Guess what? When Jesus went in and healed her lungs, he also healed the leg, and they don't have to use that to walk anymore. That's the power of Jesus Christ. I'm going from fear to faith in this very moment. I believe that God will heal your body. God will touch your mind right now. One more time, what I want you to do there in your house, you have anointed your house. What I want you to do, you've got that bottle of oil, you can continue to anoint, go ahead and do that. I want you to lift your hands right there in your home, right where you're at. And we are going to shout the name of Jesus on the count of three. When we shout the name of Jesus, all of a sudden that fear is going to leave your home. That depression is going to leave. That anxiety has to leave your home in the name of Jesus Christ. That sickness has to go in the name of Jesus. Lift your hands right now. That's it, right where you're at. Lift your hands. Lift your hands real high. Would you begin to worship God? Would you begin to thank God? Open your mouth. Begin to thank God. That's it. That's it. Begin to thank Him. Go ahead. That's it. Begin to thank God. I'm going to speak the word of faith. When I speak the word of faith, I'm going to say, let's shout Jesus. And everybody, we're going to shout the name of Jesus. That's it. Go ahead all over this place. That's it. Go ahead all over your house. In the name of Jesus. All over your house. Yes, by the authority of the Word of God and by the power that's in the name of Jesus. I command fear to leave your house. I command depression to go. Suicide has to go in the name of Jesus. Everybody, let's shout 1, 2, 3. Jesus! That's it. Yeah. God's doing something. God's doing something. That's it. Somebody just begin to walk in faith. Somebody begin to speak life into your home in the name of Jesus. I speak life into every home in Santa Maria. I speak life into every home of every listener in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak life in the name of Jesus. You will live and not die. You will live and not die. That's it. If you're feeling that in your tongue and your lips, just let it go. God will fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Just begin to speak with other tongues. Come on, that's it, that's it. Just for a moment longer. Just for a moment longer. Just for a moment longer. I want you to begin to speak life right now. I want you to begin to speak life right now to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. There in your home, begin to speak life. In the name of Jesus, I declare this to be the house of God. I declare this to be the dwelling place of Almighty God. I declare this to be the dwelling place of the presence of God. No fear is allowed to enter in. No depression is allowed. No suicide is allowed. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Come on, somebody begin to lay hands. Somebody lay hands on your family. Those that you know have been worried. Those that you know have been sick. Those that you know, in the name of Jesus, begin to lay hands on them. I feel the Holy Ghost so strong. If you're praying, you can continue praying. I want you to continue praying. Make your house your sanctuary. Make it an altar and just let the Spirit of God flow. I know there has been negativity spoken in the house. Negativity through whatever it is you've been listening to. If you've been listening to the news, I want you to begin to shut that off and begin to speak life. Shut that out and begin to speak life. Shut that out and say this is the house of God. This is a place where the peace of God, the joy of God is going to dwell. In the name of Jesus. I want you to continue if you're doing that. If God has healed your body, or you have spoken with other tongues for the first time, I want you to comment. I want you to call someone here at this church. Message them. Let them know this is what Jesus did for me. If God freed your mind from fear, message in and tell us what God has done in your life. We want to rejoice with you. We want to rejoice in the Holy Ghost right alongside with you, because God is going to do it for others just as He has done it for you. God is going to do it for many others in this world in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. If you're praying, you can continue praying. If you're praying, you can continue praying. But go ahead and just worship God in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Let all the earth rejoice. Let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light. In darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice. It trembles. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Sing how great. Our God,
Sing it.